is a special report.
Knowing how to invest your money is harder than ever before. Dealing with stock market volatility, record debt, and terrorist attacks requires new thinking. At U.S. Asset Management, we can help you see the world more clearly so that you can move beyond the chaos and invest with confidence. Call us, visit us online, or drop by our office. U.S. Asset Management, helping you make better decisions with your money.
Your government doesn't care about you. That's why you need a medical emergency kit. It contains life-saving medications like ivermectin, Z-Pak, and antibiotics. Stock them before they block them.
It is necessary to investigate before legislating. But the line between investigating and persecuting is a very fine one.
The investigators tell us it seems the suspect was going to pass them, then turned and fired.
Christine, Laura, what you're seeing behind me is one of multiple locations.
I rise to support the impeachment of President Donald J. Trump.
And I'm about to talk to him about allegations that he was involved with prostitutes in Moscow and that the Russians taped it and have leverage over him.
So we are honored to have with us today on Armed Forces Press, Brigadier General Christopher Mookie Walker, U.S. Air Force retired, alma mater of mine, U.S. Air Force Academy 88, am I correct?
88. Best of date.
Yeah, I don't say
best of date, any of my classmates watching are going to be miffed at me.
Gotcha. So we could talk about the Academy, but you wrote a really cool piece in STARS, STARRS.us, which we helped form years ago, about what's going on in the military with the DEI and all of that. And you had a position at the Pentagon, right, where you were kind of very involved in that. Tell us about it.
Well, I guess January, or must have been late January or early February of 2021, I got a call from a certain high-ranking individual in the Pentagon, say, "Hey, I got the perfect gig for you."
Yeah.
And at this time, some of the Trump appointees were still there and were able to make some decisions. Mm-hmm. And I said, and so this individual said, "Hey, look, the Air Force started this office of D&I, as they called it then. They didn't have the E in there yet, but they tried to push that later." And he said, "You'd be a good person for that." I said, "Yeah, okay." But the implication was that I'd be there to be a speed bump for the crazy.
Gotcha.
Because the structure of that office had senior executive service, SES, lead at the 2-star level, but then the deputy was a colonel, 06. And there are certain meetings that if the principal can't make it there, they don't want a colonel in there as a replacement. They want somebody who's either a general officer, flag officer, or an SES.
Gotcha.
So this is a perfect position for me. But I was... That role for me was advisory. I had no decision making, but I could be either the angel on the right shoulder or the devil on the left shoulder to just give my opinions on things. So
what did you see there? I mean, I read your article, but tell our audience kind of what you experienced in that whole process.
So I'll say this, to be fair, a lot of things were just trying to find barriers that would keep good warriors from being in the fight. Mm-hmm. And so some of the good things that they did were help to change regulations on height requirements for females to fly, and people rightly said, okay, why? And after some data analysis and some research, we found that, you know, these were based on old rules where aircraft weren't designed for certain sized people at one time. But then they said, okay, you know what? Let's take some of these. It mostly affected females, the height requirements. So it mostly affected females. But some males as well. They said, all right, if you want to be a loadmaster, let's see if you can reach this static line. Yes. Can you reach this control? Yes. Yes. So what is the issue on the height? Or if you want to be a pilot, okay, can you reach the rudder pedals? Okay, can you? And after a while, they had we end up changing the rules on that.
Say, okay, good. That makes sense. Yeah.
Another thing was females having to have their hair in a bun in the back, but then when you wear a helmet, see. Unless you're a guy with a man bun,
not a problem you have.
Yeah, you can't understand what that feels like having a helmet like that. And so they eventually said, okay, that doesn't make sense. Let's let them wear a ponytail. And there are a lot of folks who are old school, and I consider myself old school.
But
if it makes sense, it makes sense.
Sure. Okay.
But then, at the same time, there are other things in there where they had very senior people trying to figure out ways how to convince the American people that drag shows on Air Force bases were a good thing. And I said, "Whoa, okay, hold on a second. We don't have burlesque shows. We don't have lingerie shows. Why should we have drag shows?" And I could see them bending over backwards for the woke. Mm-hmm. Other things, there are certain training, as they call it, or courses that the Air Force, and I don't know about the other services. I'm just telling you what I saw the Air Force paying for. And one of them was a course that I went through, and they initially only offered it to senior members, so SES and GO, general officers. Georgetown course seminar on inclusion, but in that course, and I've discussed this with a few other general officers who went through that course, they were trying to stress that, white people are the oppressors, and black people cannot be racist because they are the oppressed. I'm going, is this what we want to teach to our service members? What do you want to have a civil war within the military, or are you trying to pull us all together? What is it? What you're saying is not going to do that, when it comes to things like service academies, we found that they're using racial preferences or affirmative action. Let's just call it what it is. And some people are like, "Oh yeah, that's neat." I go, "No, it's not. You're just not inspiring the smart black people and smart Hispanics to want to come there." if you do the work like the National Football League, like the National Basketball Association, like Major League Baseball, and set up programs to inspire youth at age 10 years old, by the time they're 18, they're not only raring to go for you, but they're also well skilled in whatever you want them to be well skilled in.
Yeah,
you're doing it wrong. You're waiting until they're age 18 or 22 to try and inspire them to do things. That's too late. That's stupid. And you're doing the stupid over and over and over. But not many people wanted to listen to my argument, and they just wanted to do it their way of saying let's celebrate transgenderism and LGBTQ. Yeah, look, I got no problem with LGBTQ.
Yeah.
Even before Don't Ask, Don't Tell, many of us knew who of which patriots were gay.
Yeah.
But we said, hey, as long as you kick ass, I got no problem with it. I'm not trying to get in your bedroom.
But, yeah, like when you and I were flying, it was all about, we didn't really care what color you were. It was just like, you got my back, I got yours, we're good to go.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, it's like, if you're going to get me killed, I'm out of here. Yeah. if you're good enough to keep me alive, then we are family. And that's the way it is. Yeah. And people are trying to say, oh, no, people are going to respond better to people who look like them. I go, yeah, maybe 18-year-olds. Mm-hmm. Who just freshly come in,
mm-hmm.
But once they get well trained enough, and then they get into exercises or even real combat, then they go, oh shit! I'm sorry, pardon my language.
No,
oh snap! this person is gonna get me killed. I'm out of here. It's human nature, and so they think that the loyalty to skin color is going to override the will to survive. They're crazy. They don't know what they're talking about. They've never experienced life or death situations.
Interesting. So where do we stand now in the U.S. military? We've got this kind of rated throughout the force. Is it deep? Is it just wide and shallow? Can it be reversed? What are your thoughts?
Oh, it can be reversed because I'm telling you right now, the majority of people aren't going for it. And they're just waiting for an administration and a Secretary of Defense to come in to stop the nonsense.
Wow.
Let's look at reality now. Especially at the higher ranks, Master Sergeant on up, so E7 on up or O5 on up, those folks are looking for their next promotion and getting well paid and taking care of their family.
Sure.
And they don't want to rock the boat. And they saw an example of people rocking the boat with Matt Lohmeyer.
Yeah.
So as soon as he exposed the Marxism and all of this stuff, they went to cut his throat immediately. Mm-hmm. And so people going along and smiling, yeah, boss, this is a good idea. And very few people are willing to throw their, especially at the general officer level, many of them are afraid to throw their stars on the desk and say, I'm out of here. The last person to do that, I think, was General Fogelman. Mm-hmm. and he did it for principle. He said, okay, it's time for me to retire because I can't do this.
Yeah.
But the rest of them are like, well, I got to, get my next rank. I'll use General Milley as an example.
Yeah.
And he had already had his 4 stars, but he loved the adoration of being at the top. And when he'd say certain things like, I need to explore this white rage. I said, come on, man. You spent that much time in the army and you don't know your people? Except for a few people who hold a chip on their shoulder, most everybody I know in the military, whether they're black, white, Hispanic, Asian,
mm-hmm.
Their shipmates, their wingmen, their foxhole mates, it's like family because we're like, oh my God, we survived. Almost killed and we survived together. That brings people together tighter than family at times. I've witnessed countless divorces because spouses couldn't handle that their service member spouse would not talk to them about things that happened in combat, but they talk to their friends about it.
Yeah.
They don't understand that their service member spouse is trying to protect them because some of that stuff is ugly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true. And there's a saying that there's nothing closer to God than a general officer on the battlefield. You know, they, they, uh,
Holy smokes. The days of Patton are over. They don't even let 06s on the battlefield anymore. Right? But whereas Patton was out there as a three-star at the front saying, fight, 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 with explosions all around them.
I remember, you know, I got out as a captain, but I was in special ops show, right? You had all the money, you had all the attention, you had congressional, you had big wigs. I mean, people get used to that, right? They don't want to lose it. That's part of it, I think.
That's right.
So where we stand on the academies, something dear to near and dear to you in my heart. I mean, Air Force has got problems, I think. How do we fix it, General?
Well, we fix it with this administration. So I hate to be someone who say, all right, they did it, so let's do it. But when Biden came in, his administration, which included Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, totally nullified the Board of Visitors and things for the Academy, and then they ousted any of the Trump picks.
Right.
I say, all right, they do it, let's do it too. With a good Secretary of Defense, and any of the service secretaries, they can go down into the service academies and say, this superintendent, what are the policies here? Okay, that's not going to work. You're out. We got to bring it back to World War II when people were fired when they did not achieve the objectives of the administration.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I'll try to think of his name. I think it was General Hansel, maybe. But he was ineffective in Japan, with the bombings over Tokyo, and they sent Curtis LeMay. They said, you know, and they took pictures together. Hey, but sorry, you got to go. I'm replacing you because you're not achieving our objectives. Mainly because Hansel was somewhat of a warrior, but he wasn't warrior to the core. And what it was going to take was firebombing, because we couldn't accurately drop bombs at that time. We didn't have precision bombing. And they said, okay, let's just use napalm. And he said, oh, I can't do that. And they said, okay, well, then you got to go. But again, these folks who said, any of the top leaders who say, you know, I still got to go with the woke agenda. Okay, thank you for your service. Bye.
Interesting. So we want to have you back, and I know you got to catch a flight, but is there anything you want to tell the force or our audience, military audience, as to what to look for or optimism into the Trump administration?
I'll tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
There is a strong push by the left to keep Pete Hegseth from being confirmed.
Yeah.
But even if he is not confirmed, hang tight, everybody, because President Trump is not going to put in somebody who's going to let you down. Mm-hmm. We are going to get rid of the wokeism.
Outstanding, General. And thank you again. And I know you're pressed for time, but seriously, we want to have you back and talk more about Air Force and how we fix the whole problem. Have a good day.
All right. Farewell.
Ciao. Take care.